Hey.
Hello, hello.
Just as we're going live, I look down and realize that the date is April 1st. There aren't going to be any April Fool's Day pranks as far as I know. I might tell you about one, but it's not up here for me to do that to you guys.
My April Fool's Day started off with a flat tire and then needing to get a whole set replaced because my tread depth was too low. That was my first thing this morning.
I'm so sorry, man.
It's all good. I was like, well, my thing was I just, factory tires from, and I was just like, I thought you'd get more than 30,000 miles out of a set of tires, and they didn't. So I was like,
but tires are like one of the few things I know about on my car. Like, I can do tires and I can do fuel. I'm good with fuel.
Yeah.
Really good there.
Say, my dad's worked for Les Schwab for 35 years. And so I went in there and I was like, hey, like, if we're going to do, I want a set of Continental DSWs. Like, they're like, yeah, we got these in stock. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, whatever. So I knew what I was talking about, but I was like, this is not what I thought my morning was going to start.
Anyway. Well, hopefully we can talk about some things to get your mind off of that stuff.
Exactly.
The day could get better. You know, it's...
I think it's looking up.
So last we had Easter just over the weekend, and the whole week leading up to that, there was all sorts of things going on in the Gala ecosystem. So we got a lot to talk about today. One of the things that we want to start off with was the Legends Reborn season one launch. So they had season zero going, and you could kind of sample everything. I don't know if everybody got a chance to see it, but we do have a link for a video that we did on Thursday that was Blake and I, again, we were just kind of like taking a look at the game and playing and enjoying what it has to offer. We wanted to feature the Galacorn, which was a limited NFT that was given out at the Malta Galaverse. So I have a deck I put together with that. Right now, if you don't have NFTs, there are three, they call them, they're featured decks that you can play with. And then there are six other NFTs, or not, sorry, NFTs, but other monsters that you could build a deck with of your own. But you don't have the same kind of versatility that you had in season zero. Apparently you can't just adapt the, I tried to do that. I wanted to use some of the creatures that were in some of the featured decks that weren't the seasonal monsters. And if you're not going to use the actual deck, when you go to copy it, it kind of rips those monsters out of it, and you have to use the ones that are the base there. You can earn through the season pass, through the battle pass, which is free. You can earn access to more monsters, but then again, you're still limited to what you're able to earn through the game and the original six that they give you. So we talked a lot about it in the video, so not to belabor that point too much, but to just kind of highlight the fact that it was happening there. The things that they've enabled for this new season is the battle pass, which unlocks dragon stones and then some cards and some monsters that you can play with, and the leaderboard is live. So the top 100 at the end of season one will receive the Tulk token. And obviously you get more of it the higher you are on the leaderboard. Now, this is not a fractionalized distribution. This is all based on your place in the tournament or in the season leaderboard. So I do like that better. You know, you have something you're aiming for. It's a competition back and forth to just do a little bit better than some of the other guys and claim that tier of reward rather than being matched against people that might be able to amass a ton of points because they just have a lot of time to play. And then you get just a fraction of what they get because they've garnered more points than you did. So this, I think this system works better than the fractionalized distribution.
Yeah. I think might as well try something new. You know, I don't think the fractionalized distribution has, necessarily worked super well in reality so far, as we've seen across at least other games, specifically looking at things like Spider Tank. So, I like the idea of trying something new, and I think the Battle Pass concept is.
Yeah. And we saw the fractionalized distribution in Townstar back in the day too. They're going to be bringing back play and earn rewards. And I don't know if it almost seems like they have to do that because of the way that the town points are allotted to specific NFTs. But we'll wait and see what kind of tokenomics they come up with. Last thing I wanted to say about Legends Reborn, I was addressing that with the featured decks. Even with NFTs, some of those featured decks that you can just get as a free player, they're just built well. And if you are a good pilot, you'll be able to beat people. So if you're interested in checking out the game, don't worry about not having NFTs or not being able to get too deep into the battle pass and get access. Like you might be able to just run with one of the starter teams and do a fantastic job. They have some really powerful creatures in there.
But yeah, I would say, yeah, definitely check out, you know, our last video on it that we did. You know, I think that's something we're going to be trying to do more going forward is, you know, taking some time, you know, whether it's a specific Galaga game or looking something outside the ecosystem, you know, kind of in coupling with doing the Galaga Gazette, like taking, you know, one game and diving into that from our experience, you know.
Yeah. It's fun too. I really appreciated you being there with me because I'll get sucked into the game. I'll be sitting there playing and I'll just be like, I'll forget to talk to me.
Well, and I might bring questions and things that you might not directly think of because you're thinking about it from your lens, right? And I know going forward, something that we really want to do is, you know, one, we want everyone to tell us, you know, what they want to see in terms of if there's a specific project you guys are like, hey, we want to hear about your experience within, you know, Common Ground World now that it's shifted and everything. Like, Okay, let's do that this week. And if you want to come and be a part of it, reach out. Like, we want to have this. We want to be able to try to have that once a week, you know, bringing people on as guests, like having other people share their experiences and just kind of create a open ecosystem for everyone to come and chat and talk about all the coolness.
Well, we've referenced Common Ground World twice now. It's out of order for the show notes, but let's go ahead and jump ahead to that just because it's a reasonable segue. The team actually, this was the first time in forever that they didn't do the town hall meeting last week, but it's they took a break for the holidays, and prior to that, they they're going to reschedule it, but they canceled last week's tournament because of a bug that was it was leading to the inappropriate or inaccurate amounts of items in storehouses, and it was totally essentially ruining the rates for people's craft timers and things like that. So in order to get that sorted, they canceled the tournament. As of now, they have the fix in, and they're going to be, if they haven't already, they're going to be updating the servers to be able to reflect that fix. What also happened last week is the distribution of the Common Ground World nodes. So we've been waiting for a long time to see this. You now have a node category in your Gala inventory on the on the Gala webpage. If you go in there, if you had a Townstar node, you should have Common Ground World node tokens. Depending on the price that you paid for them and the number of them that you bought, the number that they gave us is that for every $1,000 you spent on your node, you were going to get one Common Ground World node token. So we have the tokens now. We still don't have the integration. And this article that they put out is kind of an overview of what the guilds are going to be. This is a lot of, we've been discussing this stuff for a long time because this has been their news to share with us for a long time. You know, they've been talking about the development of the guild system. And so as they added something new, we would bring it up. The major highlights or the major point is that if you own one of these node tokens and you run your node, you'll be able to host a guild. It says up to 20 players. A little bit of the feedback that I've been seeing, there are people that are disgruntled about the fact that all of a sudden there are 10 times as many or whatever, you know, nodes out there in the wild. And, that's something that and this maybe this is I don't know if it's risky, but it's definitely something that they're taking a chance on in regards to expecting people to burn those tokens in order to improve their guilds. So even though we see a huge increase in the supply right now of the nodes, most people that are still involved in the game are not just going to sit on a single one. They're going to want to burn, essentially merging the tokens so that they can have a more effective guild structure. We still don't have the numbers on that. We don't know the effects of merging one with another or how many it takes in order to achieve certain tiers or whatever. But, there's the anticipation of that. We're waiting constantly for for news and clarification about tokenomics and things like that. So this is one of the things that we're going to have to just wait and see what they have to say about it.
I wanted to give a little shout out to, as we were talking about the, you know, Common Ground World node tokens and stuff, I know that I wanted to give a quick shout out to Rostakip and NFT Harbor. You know, they're on. I mean, you can buy them and sell them on NFT Harbor right now, which is, That was a pretty quick turnaround for him to be able to get that. I mean, they were up there pretty much right away. And There's actually been, you know, a decent amount of volume of them getting moved around. So shout out to Rostakip. He's doing awesome work. NFT Harbor is awesome. So,
agreed.
You know, there is an ability, it seems like, to, if it is something you're wanting to get into, there's an opportunity, it looks like, to get into it. If it's something you're wanting to potentially get out of, looks like there's an opportunity to get out. So,
yeah, there's people on both sides there. It's an active market. That's good.
For taking you away there, so I was like, oh.
No. We can jump back now. I wanted to talk about the Walking Dead developer stream. They did that on Tuesday, and it was full. They had Ian running the game behind. You know, he was just playing, and they called him the silent partner. He wasn't talking, but you had Zach and Brandon and Doug Sunny, like we usually do for these streams, and then they invited in the senior combat designer Paul Sullivan. He'll eventually on the screen, he shows up on the right, and the level designer Wyatt Waters, he's the one in the middle on the left. They got a chance to talk about what they've been up to. They started with Paul's work with some new walkers. He was talking about how the new spin-off series for Walking Dead has introduced new styles of walkers that he said they port into a video game mechanic really well. One of them, the first one that he showed, was what they call an amped walker. Apparently it's been some chemicals been put into it. They are fast. So you no longer have like the trudging zombie-esque walker coming at you. Like they see you and you have to engage them. They do have a short lifespan because apparently the thing that accelerates their speed also accelerates whatever kind of metabolism they have. I don't know what dead things metabolize, but anyway. They said that they last about 30 seconds, but they're fast enough that they'll give you a hard time for 30 seconds. So it's probably better just to turn and deal with them. You can get a lot of them, though, and that can be problematic. They also showed the burner, and then they showed an amped burner, so there's combinations of these new things. So the burner is one that it bleeds like a poison or an acidic blood that will deal damage over time. Like I said, there's the hybridized version that actually comes at you real fast, and then you have to deal with the burn damage or the acid damage. They've also introduced humans. Now there's some of them that are a little bit more savage. You have the wolves, and they said that they're primarily characters that use crude weapons and things like that. Can you close the door for me, Ben? Crude weapons and just kind of like attack in packs. I mean, the name wolves kind of like leads to that. But they also have the Reapers, which they use ranged weapons. And then you also have the factions of like the the CRM and the Commonwealth. So yeah. These are humans that that they're geared, you know, they're also trying to survive in a post-apocalyptic world, and when they see you, they don't like you, and so they shoot at you. So the firing mechanics for the mobs is such that you can actually dodge it. You can get out of the way. It doesn't have an auto aim like we do, but they can hit you if you're just standing there, like you were seeing, just kind of taking it.
Shredded.
Yeah. One of the neat things that they worked into it, Brandon was saying how they wanted to kind of establish a reason that these humans would just kind of be like standing around on a map. And so what they're doing is they're going to have these, like particularly the faction types, they're going to be protecting a loot chest, something that has maybe better gear, or at least the potential for better things to drop from it. And that's the reason they're there. They're there to guard or protect whatever it is that's in that box.
Yeah, I was gonna say resource mining or a point of interest. It's like that's their point of interest. You gotta go in and clear it out.
So that works for storyline. It kind of keeps you immersed in the game a little without being like, why are these guys just constantly responding here and letting me kill them? Like, well, that's their job. You know, they have to, they're trying to stay alive too. So they want to keep what's in the box and it's worth going after them because you might benefit from it too. There were a few other things that they were just discussing in regards to like some of the questions that were getting fired at them. They were talking about the PvP experience and they said they're not really happy with it. People just die too fast. So they said they're looking for ways to increase the time to die. They didn't really hint at what their solutions were at this point, but that's something that they're working on. They also wanted to, kind of like the whole make Miranda's hard movement there. They want to make, death more punishing. They've seen like in some of the situations where people are leveling up their bases, there'll be, one of the guild members will just sacrifice himself so that the walkers will use his body as something to feed on. It's like a distraction. Decoy. So they're no longer actually attacking the base. They're just sitting there eating the corpse. And they want to kind of find a workaround for that. They don't want, they want, death to be a little bit more painful so that you're not just like willing to do it like as freely as that.
Yeah. I think that makes plenty sense, right?
Yeah.
I'd imagine it's hard to, I guess I'm more thinking about what you were just talking about with like the damage scale. Like that's what PvP damage versus PvE, like how do you scale damage across? I mean, do you make it so it's like, oh, your weapons do half damage to players versus enemy versus like AI enemies or, you know, I don't know. It's,
yeah, there's probably a lot of different ways, but they I'm sure they want to keep it simple. And every time you tweak a system, you know, someone's going to find something until you've tweaked it enough times that the something that they find really isn't that consequential.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's always going to be a meta play, but it doesn't have to be so overpowered that you have to like completely overhaul the system again. You know, sometimes it's just, okay, well that's the way we're going to play for a little bit until we add a new, like we actually do a full upgrade, you know, and then we'll see what kind of data we're getting back and how we can rebalance it. Wyatt, I mentioned he's the level designer. He got a chance to talk about, as you can see where they're running around, these are places that aren't in the game right now. They've developed some new urban and neighborhood areas. And there are bigger buildings in there that are going to lend themselves to the interiors that they want to expand on. They have the police station right now. There's a supermarket area that they were running around. That would be kind of awesome to slug it out in the grocery store. And then also the interiors will eventually pave the way for dungeons. It's supposed to be like a similar approach to it. They've got the entrance that you go in, but instead of just having it be that seamless entry where you can see through the ceiling and engage whatever's inside, it's actually going to be an instanced kind of situation. They also made some adjustments to, or they're intending to make some adjustments to the leveling, the level tracking for the walkers. You have level 1 through 6, depending on which zone you're in. So 1 was the common zone, up to 6 being the ancient zone. They want to have it have it match with the character levels. The characters can level up to 100, and they recently made it so that the bases can go up to level 100 in this past upgrade. So they want to do the same with the walkers, in order to give a real like assessment of the threat level of that walker. You know, if you're going to click on that and it's going to be a 51, you might be prepared to handle one of them, but a 59 might be a little bit more than you want to deal with. So
when it gives more depth to the game, like I feel like it creates more content almost within itself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if you're only going up to 6, I mean, I remember playing this, totally random note, but I was playing this game, or what was it? Outer Worlds. Yeah, I was playing it on my PC a couple months ago, and I remembered like in the if you got the non-deluxe edition of the game, the max level you could get to was like 32.
Okay.
But if you had the premium edition, you could go to level 99, which means your skill tree, that you could max your skill tree with the premium edition, you couldn't with the standard. So I was like, well, I feel like if I hit level 32, I will not have a desire to play the game anymore. If there's not that sense of like where else to go, like, I don't know if you're able to get up to the level. I don't know. I like having more. The little progression points keep you in the game. So as many
that's what the masterful games are able to do. They do have a level cap, but then their end game focus works. You know, the end game system, I mean, I think World of Warcraft probably set the pace with their end game rating systems, you know, like, but that's always something that you need to consider, because there are going to be people that play the game so much that they get there. And then what? You know, maybe end game is about PvP, you know, and that's all. But then you want to make sure that your PvP system works really well. You know, you want to have it so that you can't just have people griefing new players that are trying to get to that end game point. But you also have to make it competitive enough that it's compelling to stick around. There's a lot of systems you just bring in some sort of PvE element that you need to be that big in order to handle it. And it gives you a hard time even though you're at max level. And then to keep producing content, new content, so that there's some variety to it, that people, once they get an idea of the right mechanisms in order to bring that boss down, they need to have a new one that they solve, a new puzzle kind of thing. And that, that can be a lot of work, I guess. You know, you have to be creative about what you're putting into the game. And then you also have to like tune it right so that it doesn't die too fast, or it doesn't kill the party too fast. You know, there has to be some sort of,
Champions Arena.
Yeah. Another game that had a recent upgrade, and they overhauled quite a bit. And I think a lot of people, they did a Q&A that they posted the video for it just this morning, actually, for us. And we were able to watch it dubbed because they did it in Korean. But I think we're still only about 10 days out from, or a little bit more than, from when they did the upgrade to the Nexus and the Arena. And so a lot of people have concerns and questions that they were bringing out, that Liam was the one fielding most of the questions, and he was saying that we're going to wait and see some more data. You know, like it's still early. There are some things that have become obvious to them. They said that they need to address the situation with equipment, because they were allowing the Nexus rental champions to take their equipment with them, and So there are some people that have much more powerful equipment than the standard person that's just going to the Nexus to rent an NFT. And so similar to what we were experiencing before, there's the that one character is carrying a team that the other members don't belong in the same league with it. You know, it's just smashing people because the equipment is powerful enough that it's having that kind of same power effect. So they're talking about a possible response to that being preset gear, that you yourself are the one who builds the gear for whatever it is that you're going to rent. And you can improve that as much as you like, but it's still going to be limited to your account. And it's not going to be based on what the Nexus owner is able to provide for people. So it would just be a swap out that as soon as the character is, or maybe they you can't even put a character into the Nexus unless you take its gear off. But anyway, they want to go about something in order to, again, bring a sensible power level to the characters that you're getting out of the Nexus rentals, instead of having it just create a dominance effect because you happen to get the one with the best gear in the game. They said that the Tower of Honor is scheduled to come out in May. This is something that they started talking about last year as an improvement in order to give people more more gameplay, more at regardless of what level you're at. So still in the works, but they're expecting May for that. They also have a pet system coming up. These are going to be NFT pets, and that Anna was talking about those. They intend to make them available through the store, and the pets Liam mentioned are going to be like companions that actually can fight with you. They can improve the VPs that you earn, and they have just kind of like they're just kind of an extra feature to your champions that make them better. So that it inevitably my mind goes to pet battles. They haven't mentioned anything like that. They haven't said it's going to happen, but that would kind of make sense, but nothing that they said, and nothing for sure there.
We'll see.
I mean, it just seems anyway, that's what we do. We take our animals and we make them go kill other animals. Or we play Pokemon, you know, that's
exactly.
you get the gotcha effect there.
Or then you wait until PAL World comes along and then people are making like sweat camps up there. Have you seen the oh my gosh, it's people are
they're ingenious when it comes to to making things benefit themselves.
Yeah. To say the least.
Another thing they wanted to address was guild content. They wanted to make the guild system a little bit more robust. So they're talking about actual guild activities more than you know, they have events that track progress individually that lead to a combined leaderboard score. But in this case, they want to they're talking about possibly doing raids, like where multiple members of the guild will work together against some kind of PvE boss or group of bosses. But like I said, a lot of the things that were being brought up are things that either even though it was a concern to someone in the community, they're very happy with the way that things are going. You know, they, someone was saying that they wanted things to change because it seemed like the tokens were being distributed too broadly and people weren't able to earn enough anymore. And he was saying, well, that's exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted to make it so that more people, especially in the middle brackets, could earn more from the game. And so, you don't have the same concentration of earnings anymore for the people that were, you know, grinding all day long, whether it was on auto battle or they were doing it like in person. You know, like there were people that were really maximizing what they could take out of it by just harvesting as many victory points as possible. Now there's a limit, what is it, an NFT limitation on the number of victory points you can harvest. So it kind of stretches that out. And yes, you can pay to get more opportunities to earn, but then you're also contributing to the distribution there because it's based on daily spend. So, yep. Anyway, Liam was very composed. He had a lot of really good answers, and was willing to say, yeah, let's take a look at that. Someone brought up the idea of making NFT gear, and he said, we haven't really thought about that, but that's worth considering, you know. So as of now, the gear is all database bound, but someone was excited about the prospect of being able to get an NFT version, or at least to tokenize what they have already, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as you make an NFT out of it, it can come from both sides, you know, either from the game with a minting sort of token, or an actual sale from the store for whatever level of gear it is. So that was pretty much the highlights from that. There were some other questions that didn't seem to have as much impact, so we'll just kind of like breeze past. On the Miranda side, we had reports from both Manny and Jason about, they just keep calling, I don't know if it's his screen name or if they just like have dubbed him this Rockstar Todd. You know, apparently he has really like just performed at such a level that they just have to give him that moniker. But they said that he was able to build out the 3D avatar rendering so that when you go into your inventory, you can see the model of your character. They said he built it in 2 days. And they were just blown away by his progress there. So really, really happy with that. Manny mentioned something in his, it was a Wallpaper Wednesday. Just a line. He said that we can expect a stream of juicy leaks. Now, I don't know what that means, but we're supposed to be looking forward to some stuff that they're going to just start telling us about. So we do know that the first playtest is coming up, the one with the deer, mm-hmm. the field of honor, field of battle.
Can't wait.
So, yeah, I mean, hopefully we're all excited about getting in there so we can actually do it some justice and give them that test they need. But I don't think we're going to have to work too hard to get people excited about that. If you're still in the Gala community, you're probably waiting to see the next thing from Miranda's.
I would assume most people are here for that.
And then the Friday tech update, Jason also talked about, it was a thing that they were really working hard with last week. And he mentioned that they've made some really good progress with the skinning for gear on the different exemplars. They're actually building out a system that so that it's just a simplified one click or two click kind of thing, so that they don't have to match armors and render the animation for each model that comes out. So they'll be able to just apply this system that they've built, and it will form itself around whatever model they put there. So they said that it was totally worth that time, because there's going to not just the exemplars, but they also have NPCs that are going to be wearing armor. And as they introduce new NPCs, if they're humanoid or they'd be able to wear armor like that, then they'll just be able to kind of feed that right into the system, and it will take a lot less work down the line and be able to get that out of the way ahead of time. So he said that was the major thing that they were focusing on. There was some other progress across the ecosystem, but again, like he says LOD, and I don't know what he means. But I'm sure it means something about efficiency or performance there. That's as much as I know. They had the 44th episode of Ahead of the Game. They started off, Anita was given some updates on Founders Nodes and Gala Film and Gala Music. Then she kind of went through a lot of the announcements that we've already talked about. One of the things that she did bring in was some of the stuff that the Last Expedition devs have been doing in the dev updates channel in Gala Discord. They've been posting like little short videos of things like weapons, some of the monsters or aliens, I guess. But you're able to kind of get a feel for what their artistic vision is for the game. You know, some of the weapon videos, you know, you're just staring at this pistol. It's like, this is it. And then they show a little bit of like gameplay footage with it and stuff like that. But it's not like a step forward in development that they're discussing. It's really just like featured art. And so, yeah, the Ravager one was pretty wicked looking.
Yeah.
Or no, that's not the Ravager. No, I'm sorry. Really. That was, what was that? That wasn't the Ravager. Oh man, what was that? Parasite. Right on. Yeah. So anyway, it's pretty. They've definitely made it look good.
That's what I
want. They continued on and they reran an interview that was in some of the hackathon or one of the hackathon videos. But it was it featured Tony Colafrancesco, who is one of the devs from the Voyager FPS that's going to be building on Galachain. And then they said that the team, they're calling themselves Reflex, they're going to be giving away 50 season pass tokens. So you can, it's a Gleam giveaway. So there's a link in the ahead of the game description that you can, if you want to be a part of that and try to get one of those season passes, you can fill out the Gleam form. Poker Go Play had a bug that it was people were losing the chips. You know, they were getting incorrect chip totals coming off of the tables. The middle of last week, they isolated it, and it took them a little bit of time. But they say the newest build should have eliminated that problem. So that's good. And then they started on Thursday the week 31 sweepstakes. This time they've updated it so that there's a 2,500 chip requirement per entry instead of 500. So they've vastly increased the amount that you need to win in order to get your sweepstakes entries. And I think a lot of this reflects the fact that there have been a lot of people playing for a while and they've gotten a bunch of chips. It's easier for a lot of people to get on the tables and win chips, so they don't want to make it too easy to get those sweepstakes entries. But this also brings up the point that we still don't have the new system in place. They're going to be shifting to the point system, where the number of chips that you take, you earn points, and also if you win the sit and goes, you win points, and then the new distribution that's going to be based on the daily rake. That is apparently still a work in progress. They were talking about having it out even three or 4 weeks ago, but apparently it's not ready yet. The last thing that we wanted to talk about was Echoes of Empire. By all accounts, it seems to be kind of in the same boat as Spider Tanks and Superior, where there's something going on behind the scenes. There was silence from the Hit Factor crew for, it was about 2 weeks. And then we got a post from Shadow. He came in and just typed, "Can't talk about very much at the moment." So usually when people go quiet, it's because lawyers are involved. And what's interesting and kind of sad is that shortly after that post, we saw at least two people, there's probably more, that were asking, how do I get into this game? What can I do to play this game? How do I buy a Celestial Claim? You know, like the people willing to actually like spend money on the game that are coming to the Discord just looking for information. And I was there for one of them, where the guy like happened to post right as I was like kind of scrolling through. So I was able to give him some straightforward answers about how to go about it. But how encouraging can we be when we see the condition of the game? So it's kind of unfortunate that this interest is coming at a time when we don't have a whole lot of positive, like, feedback to give people about their interest in it, you know, like, so hopefully they can iron it out. It has some potential as far as like even with what we have, we were still finding a way to have fun with it with that war with Randy. And then the war, like, what was, I guess it was just kind of like scrapping with Randy, and now the war with Zeta and Mom and Moff and the AOA on the other side, you know. So but it definitely needs more work. There definitely needs to be a lot of features added, and that can't happen if there's drama going on. So
hopefully it just ironed out. It sucks because I feel like at the end of it all, and I don't want to, I mean this in the best way possible in terms of, I'm not trying to diminish what, you know, any of the other parties might be going through, but the community kind of takes the brunt of these types of situations in terms of, it's the community who's put the money into the ecosystem, it's the community who's been looking forward to it, it's the community who wants to play it, and now because of something going on in the back end that we don't get to know, that opportunity is kind of dissolved.
Well, that's entirely fair. The community is the one that has put the money out. Yeah. You know, like, I'm sure Gala had to pay for some things, and I'm sure the dev teams, because without specifying anyone, I'm sure the dev teams had to pay for things, including salaries and stuff like that. But we're the ones that put the money out initially, and like, we don't get a salary from this. It's not an investment, right? So we bought stuff, and it's our money that they're fighting over.
Exactly.
I mean, realistically, that's what it is. And so
that's what irks me about
it. We are the losers.
It's like, feels like being the kids in a really nasty divorce over and over again. It's what are we? I don't know. It's a little disheartening for sure. But, you know, I still do think that all boils down to the core point of, well, the community, yes, we're the one taking the brunt because that's the one who's actually matters, I guess. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that still exists, you know, and that's kind of what we're trying to do with the collective and stuff, is be like, okay, the community is still there. It's still viable. They just need things to actually happen, right? And so if we can potentially, with the collective, you know, forge a path to, whether it's you're a developer who wants to come in and create mini games, whether you're just wanting to come in and actually play things with a community of people that you can, you know, hop into game chats with and talk smack, or, you know, do all the things that people aim to do that they now don't get to do. So
yeah, the games are supposed to be fun, right? That's why we play them. We engage them on a level that's like rewarding to us. And so if the collective can help make it fun, you know, by setting off a war in deep space, just in a game that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Well, let's have fun. You know, we're in it anyways. Let's enjoy it. And then if we're having fun, you know, if the community that's already kind of put the money out, it refuses to let it go, and we just like have fun with it, well, that fun becomes infectious. Now, that doesn't help if there's no further development that can happen. But if you look at a game like what they're doing with The Walking Dead Empires, you know, that's a game that's completely in-house. There's no friction there. They're just building more to the game. So if we get in the game and we're running around having fun, then as we're having fun and other people are discovering that experience to be enjoyable for themselves as well, the new content just makes it better and better. And this is all even before, like, they barely touched on the idea of Dead Coin, you know, and earnings and things like that. The Founder's Key is another one that people are asking about. And they're like, and they're just saying, we're not ready to implement any of that stuff. And we'll talk more about it when we've got that stuff in place.
Yeah.
You know, right now they're building the game.
Fair. I mean, I yeah, I don't know. It's,
It does. Well, if you spend money on the game already, you do have a little bit more anxiety over that, or at least you're tempted to. You know, like, you want to know, like, what you bought. And hopefully you bought a piece of a fun game that a lot of people are going to be able to enjoy.
I was going to say, I've played a lot of crappy games purely because I'm playing it with my buddies. And so it's like, if there's enough of, you know, it's like, but because it was still fun and, you know, I say a crappy game in terms of like, it wasn't some masterpiece. Like, it was like, you know, I don't like to say, you know, like the game Lethal Company, like it's not a bad game by any means, but it's a pretty simple game. The fun part about it is being on, you know, playing with my buddy. It's all proximity chat and you're just getting picked off by these random monsters and you can't see it. And all of a sudden your buddy goes silent and you're like, Ian, where are you? Like running around trying, like, you know, is the game itself like an absolute masterpiece? Yes, because of the pure community side. So it's like that's still a whole, I don't know, ability that these games can tap into, I think. But
I don't know. I think right there is the real answer. If you don't have a vibrant community, you're gonna suffer as a game maker, as a game builder, as a platform designer. Like it really does come back to people being able to get together and enjoy things together. Or to like antagonize one another, you know, like there's plenty of griefers that thrive on it too. But then that just gives the people that are banding together another common enemy to like, to rally together with. And then like, I don't know, it's like making friends and having fun, you know, that's kind of the point of games for most people. But that's a community. If you can't see the value in the community, then you're going to struggle with success. I think that's the easiest way to say it.
Easily put.
Well, that is what we have for this week.
Yeah. Right on our mark too.
And anybody that wants to like post something up, hey, check this game out or whatever, like go ahead and throw it to us. I have some ideas that I'd like to kind of line out over the short term, but we really want to engage you guys and let you guys have a say in what what we take the time to look at. If we're going to be producing content, we might as well produce the kind of content that people are wanting to see, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a game you like, let me know, and Blake and I will work it out in the background.
We can do
it. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, see you guys later this week. We'll be putting some out once we decide what we want to dive into, and we'll see you later. Be sure to let us know what you want to see.
Yep. Peace. Easy.